everyone. My name is Addie.
And I'm Shira.
And you're listening to
It's Complicated, the podcast. You may have heard of us before. We used to have a column in the opinion section, but now we've become travel-sized for your hot girl walks and when you need some advice on the go.
And if you're new here, welcome. It's Complicated is a space where we talk about everything surrounding love, dating, relationships, friendships, and most importantly, love for yourself. Because as we know,
it's complicated.
So, it is back to school here at UW, and we know that you are all hitting the books, but we want you to forget the math and science. We even want you to forget the Spanish and the French, because we have a lesson for you in a different kind of language, and that is the language of love. So, love languages are super popular right now in the media, and it seems like nowadays, whenever I meet someone, the first question I ask them is, what is your love language?
So Dr. Gary Chapman is a marriage counselor, and in 1992, he wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. It was immediately successful, and now there's a website called five, as in the number five, lovelanguages.com. On the website, the premise of love languages is that different people with different personalities give and receive love in different ways. So the idea is that if you get to know your own love language and the love languages of the people around you, you can learn to identify the root of your conflicts, connect more profoundly, and truly begin to grow closer to one another.
So like we said, there are five of these love languages, and we're just going to kick off with my personal favorite, which is words of affirmation. I am a words of affirmation girly through and through. Hearing a simple, I'm proud of you, or I love you, or you look so good today, will just send me over the moon. And all my friends know this, and whenever I'm super stressed out or going through conflict, I will just talk everything down to the smallest detail, and they will listen to me yammer on. And that's just a way that they kind of speak my love language.
So next one is quality time, which is my love language, the best love language, by the way. It is all about giving the other person your undivided attention. So when you're hanging out with them or even spending time just doing nothing, just sitting by each other and talking, you feel that you're fulfilling your quality time love language. And it's my favorite way to get to know people. It's just ask them out for coffee and talk to them, spend some time with them. Yeah, it's my favorite.
So then we've got physical touch, and this is your love language if you're next to your partner and you're like, I just want to crawl into your pocket right now because we are not close enough. And we cannot mistake this one for being sex crazed. Physical touch can be as innocent as you want it to be. It can be hand-holding in public, snuggling, or just absentmindedly finding ways to touch your partner throughout the day. Some light PDA.
So the next love language is receiving gifts. For some people, receiving a heartfelt gift is what makes them feel the most loved. So it's whether it's your friend buying you a present or your parent cutting you some fruit when you're doing your homework. When you receive gifts from the people you love, you feel happy and loved back.
Yes. Like if someone gave me a rock and said, this made me think of you, I think I would cry. So then for our last love language, we've got acts of service. And this language is all about helping your partner out throughout the day with just the little things on their to-do list that maybe they're too stressed to do, like rides to the airport, cleaning those dishes, making dinner, you know, doing the little things that are just going to help your partner feel less stressed.
So today we brought in our favorite love expert, Ben Compton. Ben is a PhD student at the communications department here at the UW, where he's specifically focused on sexual, nonverbal, and interpersonal communication. He's also a spin instructor at the IMA, so go check out his classes.
Yay! Thank you so much for coming today, Ben. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I will say that the five languages are all compatible with cycle class. So if you do want to come spend quality time, physical touch, high fives, acts of service, working out, gift giving,
words of affirmation.
I am a class pass.
You're doing great.
Words of affirmation. I will tell you as the instructor, I don't mean to impede your love lives, but you're both doing great and you both look sexy together. All right.
Yes, we love it.
So we got some questions for you here today, Ben. And the first is kind of about love languages and whether they're important. So meaning, do you need to know your own love language or your partner's love language, your friend's love language to have like a quote unquote successful relationship?
I would say easy answer, no. Only in the sense that most of us don't know, and we've had a lot of successful relationships. But I think if they're important to you, then yeah, they can't hurt, right? It's more information to learn about the other person, right? So at the end of the day, you can still have a successful relationship without them because a lot of us don't know them, right? It's not like any of us here have not had them before just because we recently learned them for today's podcast, right? Although I am still single, so maybe I could argue against that one. But the idea is essentially that I think they all come down to, they're all acts of communication, right? As you said, I'm from the communication discipline, so I'm biased. But each one of these, quality time, you're spending your physical body with another, you're communicating, you want to be there. Physical touch, it's nonverbal communication. Acts of service, it's a behavior that's communicating how you feel about them. Words of affirmation, obviously, verbal communication. Gift giving, they're symbolic things that give that person to show, hey, my love for you is this rock, right? Something like that. So at the end of the day, though, I think they can all be necessary, regardless of where we fall on the website quiz that we all took, that hopefully our listeners will take as well to learn about themselves and their lovers, have them do a nice little quality time taking them together.
Yes.
But the idea is these can all be key, right? I've never once heard someone in my entire life say, hey, I don't want quality time, right? I know Gary Chapman theorized, he kind of argued with these, being like, hey, we have a primary and a secondary. But if you take the quiz, and hopefully you will after this podcast, maybe pause and during the podcast, but not during, don't multitask so you can hear these great words of affirmation towards the love languages. But that essentially that each of these, we have a primary, secondary, but we're all going to score in some of them, right? Even my lowest one, it was still, for me, the lowest was 3%. It's still something I care about, right? So I think the key thing is to really communicate about these, right? But communicate them in a certain way. I think patience is a virtue here in the sense that you could take a love language, you can ask your lover, hey, what are yours? Or you can sit back and what I like to call be your own kind of research lover or research of your own love, something like that, right? You get the idea. But essentially is where we could ask them, like, hey, tell me, right? Like the cheat sheet, like the spark notes about your lover. Or you can sit back and just take time to observe them. Someone may say like, hey, I don't care about acts of service. But then you notice that every time you bring them a rock, every time you bring them chocolate for work, or you bring them a class pass for the cycle at the IMA for Shira or Ben or something, but they're like, you know, wow, that means so much to me. Because if you think about it, even if like gift giving is the bottom for you, that also may be something that because you don't expect it, your partner doesn't think you want it, that when they do it, it's that much more special. So I think overall, it's good just to sit back and observe these, right? If you have the luxury of being in a relationship with somebody, then you have the luxury of sitting back and being like, hey, I notice that when I leave, they text me that they miss me already. So therefore, maybe they don't tell me their quality time, but every time I say, hey, what are you doing tonight? They're ready for me to come over kind of thing, right? So they may not score high on quality time, but it could still be important to them. Because ultimately what all of these are, they're all perception based. And so we may think we do something, but at the end of the day, it's just how we perceive it, right? So in that sense is like, I like to compare it to affection, right? What we teach in interpersonal, if anyone's ever taken an interpersonal communication course, affection and social support, right? Showing your friends the affection they need or showing them you support them in a time of need. It takes two to tango, but at the end of the day, it's only considered affection or social support if that person perceives it. So an example I like to use in my classes is that basically, if you've ever had your friend who just went through a breakup call you, and they're talking, and they're talking, and they're talking, and you're like, oh my God, I'm now, like I'm swiping on Tinder as I listen to them, but I'm really kind of zoning out. All that matters is to them, they perceive you're listening, even though it's not effective listening, they don't know that, don't tell them, but is that it's still affectionate for them. So they're just like, hey, this is important. So the way that translates is that you may think that you're spending quality time, but you want to make sure and communicate to them like, hey, do you like when I come over all the time? Hey, you're beautiful. Like, do you like when I tell you that? Things like this, because at the end of the day, you may be thinking you're showing them what they want, right? They may score high in acts of service. So you're washing their dishes. And you've been washing their dishes for 6 damn months and you turn out that they're like, they don't even notice, right? So you want to make sure that what you're doing is being communicated and interpreted to them as these five love languages, or else it could be much ado about nothing. You think you're doing acts of service and really they just, they're like, oh, that's cool you do the dishes, but I don't really care about that. Kind of thing, even though they scored high in it. But I would say of all five of them, right? Because again, quality, physical touch, words of affirmation, I think we all, right? No one's ever been like, you tell me I'm too beautiful. It's annoying, right? Or, you want to hang out with me too much. I wish you didn't want to hang out with me. But I think it's important for gift giving and acts of service, because that's not normally in our repertoire for what we do, right? It's not like a normal thing to take someone to the airport. So if that's something your partner does, this may be something that it may not be normal in your behavior, right? Culture, society doesn't tell us to give people a ride to the airport. Society doesn't necessarily tell us to give them sliced apples, right? So if you know that about your partner, then you could be a little bit more cognitively aware of it to kind of make sure you're emphasizing that kind of thing. Overall, I think just communicating about any of these, you should be good.
So we can be like bilingual and trilingual in love languages. We can speak all of the love languages.
Five. What's five lingual? I don't know. Someone know that one?
Pentalingual. So it's not self-absorbed of me to say I speak all the love languages when people ask me, because I used to say that all the time. I thought it was so funny. But then I was like, okay, maybe I should pick one. But no, we can be fluent in all of them and implement them in different ways in our lives. Like maybe words of affirmation takes a back burner for some people who don't like that constant words. But every now and again, I mean, we all, like you said, we all like being told that we look, hot today. So
totally. So let's cross our fingers and pretend like everyone's amazing at communicating with one another. So we have these two partners in a relationship and they both let each other know about their love language, but their love languages are not compatible. And even worse, someone's might be quality time, but the other person absolutely does not want to spend every single waking moment with the other person because they need their own space. Do you think not having compatible love languages can make or break a relationship?
There's two ways that you can take this, right? So Chapman and like his original research back 30 years ago in 92 basically argued that relationships are better when they're aligned. He called it like matching, right? Love language is quality time. Love language, quality time. Two primary. Great, great, right? You both like watching Netflix. Great, we have it. We can love each other now, right? That kind of argument. But he also said that if you're mismatched, right? One person likes Netflix, the other one likes Hulu. All of a sudden, problems can arise. And I don't want to sit here and act like we all don't know what problems can arise, right? Either ourselves or our friends, things can come up, right? Shit happens. So if you're mismatched, he made the argument, right? So you could approach it from the first perspective of being like, hey, maybe this is just a sign that we're not compatible, right? For example, I love to rave. And if I dated someone who didn't like to rave, don't get me wrong, I love folk, but like, I don't want to go to a banjo festival when I could be going to a rave festival 24 hours, right? So the idea is I could force it. You can try to adjust, right? But some people too try to believe like, hey, I don't want to adjust who I am for this person. So examples for the love languages could be like, hey, your partner is loves gift giving, but say you're cheap. Or you're not a good gift giver. Say like gift giving is expensive. Like, oh my God, I'm tired of buying these apples, right? These apples are like really expensive Honeycrisp apples and they're organic. My partner's like organic. Oh my God, right? Or acts of service. But say you're just kind of lazy. Like, I want to give you a ride to the airport, but hey, babe, you fly too much. Or imagine physical touch. Like, hey, my partner's a physical touch, but I'm not really a cuddler or my sex drive is kind of low. This could be a sign, right? That, hey, maybe it's not. On the other hand, part two, much more short, is that you could work on these. We've all worked on this, right? We've all gone to a yoga class because we have a crush on the yoga instructor and yoga's not our thing, but like, hey, I'm gonna get flexible and impressive, right? So we can easily work on these. So for myself, I had a partner that I've been wanting to work on words of affirmation. So over many, many years, I actively worked like, hey, I'm gonna try to compliment more. And at the end of the day, I got pretty damn good at it, right? And there are drawbacks to complimenting too much, but at the end of the day, you can work on these. So you can choose to believe that, hey, love languages are like horoscopes for you. They tell you who you are and you take them as truth. Or you can approach it like, hey, at the end of the day, these are things that I can work on. And I'm excited. If you find yourself not excited, that's probably a sign. If you're like, hey, I really don't want to give them apples as a gift, symbolic of my love, then that could be a sign. Hey, maybe this is it for you.
So if you're that type two and you're like, man, I really want to work on it, what are some practical ways that we can implement these love languages as college students, like you said, who maybe don't have a lot of free time, who are maybe broke, or, you know, we have a lot of long distance relationships being at a college campus. How can we implement these if you're not, you know, right next to each other? Like, what if I'm physical touch and I just want to hug Shira, but Shira is like in California, you know?
So for long distance, I like to think of it in kind of three categories, right? So I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on long distance. I've never done it. And anyone who's in long distance knows it's a hell of a lot of work. And the idea, as long as you work for it, then it can work, right? So I think of them as three things. The easy, I think words of affirmation, super easy. This shouldn't be that difficult for anybody, right? You can text them, right? Hey, I'm thinking of you. Send an emoji, send an emoticon, send something happy, something that makes you feel loved. Send a photo of yourself. It's not words of affirmation, but it kind of communicates as like a symbolic words of affirmation, right? That should be easy for anybody, right? If your person's like, hey, this long distance is hard for me to text you, you're like, all right, call bullshit. That makes no sense, right? 2022, we got this. That's easy, right? Words of affirmation. I think a little mix of maybe medium difficulty could be things like quality time. If it's important to you, we do have the luxury, the affordance of technology, right? Get to a Wi-Fi spot, FaceTime for 10 hours, right? You can spend that quality time together. Acts of service and gift giving, right? A classic case of both of these would be like Uber Eats. Hey, you're hungry? I got a gift for you. I'm gonna feed you tonight. I'm gonna order that Uber Eats for you to your door. Hopefully you know your long distance partner's address. If not, you have different problems, right? But then I think in the ultimate category that Addie brought up, but hard can be physical touch. You may just be kind of out of luck. And kind of a joke in all seriousness, there are technology out for people like this, right? They've literally created like these cuddle pillows that like you can buy. So one person cuddles it and the other person cuddles it and it like moves in the body so you can see when they're moving. You'll probably find out your partner moves a lot when they're sleeping at night or something. But the idea is like a toy like that could be that physical touch. There are sex toys that you could buy that are battery operated if that is your vibe. Unfortunately for a college student, I don't think you have these at the dollar store. They may be a little bit more expensive. So I think, as Addie said, the physical touch may be a little more challenging. So you have to ask yourself if that is where we are. Communicate about it. Don't get mad at your partner because you don't touch me enough when you're living in Virginia and I'm in Washington. Communicate about it.
Yeah, something I saw too for physical touch, if you are long distance, an idea that I saw was sending like a little sweatshirt or a little piece of clothing sprayed with your perfume or cologne to your partner. And then, you know, you can kind of two birds, one stone, gift giving, physical touch, boom, you just filled up your partner's love tank. Easy as that.
And a good idea with that too is if you have the luxury of a big closet, which I had too many shirts, you could always send that shirt. Like, hey, I got you in your PJs. Here's my UW Dog Day shirt that you used to love wearing. Here, how about yours? And you know what? As gross as it sounds, but in research, we know that we're attracted to scents of the people, right? Pheromones, we call them, right? And we don't really control this. Hey, send a sweaty shirt. Send that yoga shirt that you just did. And be like, hey, I'm thinking of you at yoga. Here's my shirt. Wear it. Don't tell them they're sweaty, maybe, but they'll actually, like, science shows you'll be relatively attracted to it.
They'll like it. Whether. Oh.
And
whether
hopefully, your partner has a good person, sense of humor.
Yes.
We'll see.
Ben, what is your love language?
All right. Yes. So, my top two, my primary would be quality time. And second, words of affirmation. And in a close third is physical touch. I was very low on receiving gifts and acts of service.
Do you feel like that's accurate? Or do you find that maybe you do, like, find that gifts are more important in your life?
I'm an attached lover. Right. So I'm very much quality time. Like, I like spending time with him. I sometimes get confused quality versus quantity. Like, quantity time, spending all the time together. But when I'm with my person, I want to. And words of affirmation, like, who doesn't like to get complimented, right? I've still yet to hear someone say that, as we said earlier. Like, you tell me you love me too much. But yeah, I think they're generally accurate. But I also don't know, like, if you think about it, like, could one do as much quality time as acts of service? Like, you can only drive someone to the airport so many times. So I wonder if some of these may be easier. So that's probably why it's prominent for me. Like, it's easier to spend time in words of affirmation than it is for me to be like, give you a gift a day, kind of. Mm-hmm. But maybe not. I guess someone who's high on those could tell me differently. It was tough to take the survey. So hopefully our listeners will go take the survey, because the way it was is, like, I had to choose between chocolate and vanilla. Like, oh my God, both of these options are so good. It was like, which one do I want more? I think they're fairly. How was yours? What did you come up as?
So I'm quality time. Actually, what you brought up is, I wanted to ask about that. So we both quality time, but what, like what you said, you tend to mistake quality for quantity. So say you're spending a lot of time with this person, but it's not, like, good time. Like, you might not be enjoying it. Do you have any tips or advice for that? Like, people who are quality time and they just want to spend all the time with the person and it just doesn't seem to be, like, fulfilling their love language.
Well, I would say, like, I know that on the love language website at the end, it talked about, like, spending unabided time with your partner, right? It's like having your phone away. So for me, I would say you just got to communicate it. Like, I know with previous partners, I've spent time with them and they're, like, on their phone. Or for me, when we're watching movies, it's quality time. I swear to God, if you get on your phone, I'm pausing the movie, right? So, like, I had a partner that would be on their phone, and I'm just like, oh, like, it just irked me, because as I know, quality time is high for me. So I think if you are going to spend the time, be like, hey, just us, unconnected, right? Disconnected. 2022, we got a lot of technology around us. Let's disconnect so we can make sure that when we spend time together, we both feel that it's that quality, right? Perception of both of us, right? It's not... We both want to think it is that way, so it's not just one-sided. But yeah, did that answer your question?
No, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So my love language is words of affirmation. And one time I had a guy, we were talking about love languages, and I had not yet revealed that I am a words of affirmation girl. And he goes, yeah, all of them, you know, except for words of affirmation. I just don't understand why you would need that someone to just validate everything that you do. And I'm just sitting here like... Well, I would love for you to validate everything that I do, and your words are not really affirming me right now. So what would you say about that? Like, if you are this, you know, self-sufficient kind of person, do you still need words of affirmation?
I mean, we're all human,
right?
Even the thing, like, yeah, we're all human. So, like, even if you, I mean, just because words of affirmation, I mean, there's no research to suggest that if you need words of affirmation, that you are, like, insecure, right? Because words of affirmation, who doesn't like being told they look cute? Like, show me a person who's like, hey, you look really pretty. And they're like, yeah, fuck off. No, like, nobody, right? So, like, these are all relevant to all of us. So, like, I don't think there's any correlation between, like, being affirmated and being like, hey, you have low self-esteem, or quality time means you're lonely, or physical touch means you're repulsed by human skin, or receiving gifts means you're selfish, right? Acts of service means you're lazy. I think for all of these, they can be important. So I would say, no, I don't think you're insecure.
Thank you.
I don't know you well, that. But yeah, I'll ask the
Are
guy.
Are you affirmed? Do you feel affirmed?
I feel so affirmed right now, you guys. My love tank is so full.
Did I tell you look so good today?
Stop it. I'm blushing. So my roommate, she is really a gift person, and that's a kind of an uncommon one. And one thing that she does that is so cute to me is she'll bring me little love presents when I've had a bad day, and I am also a Diet Coke girly. So she'll bring me, like, this extra large Diet Coke whenever I've had a bad day. That is so cute. I want to start doing little love presents. Just something cute makes you think of them and you pick it up. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, anything major. Like, sure, I'm going to get you a love present.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. I'm actually looking forward to it.
We'll get Ben a love present, too. We'll get him some, like, rave sunglasses. I feel like that's
They sell
what
Diet
needs.
Cokes in packs of six. So you got two.
Are you a Diet Coke
No, not
boy?
At all, but I just wanted to feel affirmed.
Okay,
I wanted to feel love.
Because
all of these are affection, right? So as long as you do any of them, no one's ever going to be sad. The one that stood out to me on the quiz that I thought was unique was the acts of service. Because I was thinking, like how you said, his words of affirmation make me, like, I'm not insecure because I like it, right? The one I thought was interesting was acts of service. Because as I was taking the quiz, I kept thinking of, I had a specific ex that she would always wash my dishes, or she wanted to. And I'm like, I'm a host. I would use that whole, like, I'm a host. This is my house. I mean, you're my guest. We've all said that before. But for me, it was really, I don't like the way you wash my dishes. Like, I feel like you leave crumbs. And so I was thinking, as I was going through the acts of service, every time I kept choosing the other option, because for those who haven't taken the survey, they gave you A or B, right? And each one represented one of the five categories. You just did that a bunch of times. So I was thinking, like, am I selfish for not wanting my partner to do any of these services? Like, if you're the person in class who's like the leader in the group who just does it all on your own, I wonder if you're less likely to want access services because you just don't want other people. Like, you could drive me to the airport, or I don't know.
That is so me. I am so type A and perfectionist. I feel bad in my apartment sometimes too, because like, I'll just clean it because like, I like it cleaned my way. And so I'm wondering, is it still like a love language, acts of service, if you tell them to do it? If you're like, hey, can you take out the trash right. for me? Hey, you know, can you do this for me? I mean, that's more my love language because I'm a little bossy.
If you're an acts of service person, please DM us on our Instagram and let us know. Are we being selfish? Are we not?
Yes.
I think the key trick is to combine words of affirmation with that. Be like, you're really good at driving me to the airport.
Yes.
Like, honestly, the way you cut those apples is phenomenal. Can I have one? Mm-hmm. It's a symbolic of your love. You can just go crazy with this stuff.
Yes.
Right?
I'm just gonna start DJing. I'm gonna start mixing and matching them, kind of combining them.
Like tonight, my gift is I'm gonna hold your hand.
Yes.
Right? Because your hand is beautiful. Words of affirmation. I mean, you can get them all in one action.
Seriously.
That'd be a good challenge.
So if you are listening to all of these things and you're like, ah, I don't know my love language and I'm freaked out because I'm missing out on the coolest thing ever. There is an app developed by the 5lovelanguages.com and it is called Love Nudge. And you can take this test to determine your love language. You can even link profiles with your partner and set little goals and send nudges to fill up your love tank. And that is the cutest thing I've ever seen. So go download that app, take the test, find out what your love language is. And I would even suggest trying to do some self-care this weekend that is directly aligned with your language, because love languages aren't just for others. You can love language the hell out of yourself. And we have some ideas for you if you're feeling a little lost. So we've got words of affirmation. And that just means being your own biggest cheerleader. You're gonna give yourself some pep talks. You can journal, physical touch. You can revamp your skincare routine, get out, move your body, maybe take a cycle class with Shira and Ben, or you can find a perfect fall fuzzy blanket.
If you're a quality time person like me, take yourself out on a date, you can meditate, you can recharge with yourself, you can also go to cycle. And if you're an acts of service person, you can set yourself up for your success, like set up your to-do list for the next week, deep clean your entire study space, deep clean your apartment if you want, unpack that random box you've had since move-in. It is October, so you should go do that even if you're not an acts of service person.
And if you are a receiving gifts person, if you're looking for an excuse to do some retail therapy this weekend, this is your sign. So you need to treat yourself to that new fit, that coffee that is so good but a little expensive. Just go for it. Give yourself a gift. And now that you have all of these tools, we're going to advise you to go ask that cutie in your class what their love language is and go nuts, because now you're all experts and you know exactly how to deal with it.
Exactly. And we want to thank Ben again so much for coming onto our first podcast. Ben, I know you're a last year PhD student, so where can we find you? Like, what are you up to? Is there anything new and exciting other than in the cycle room?
I teach a bunch of classes, so if you ever want to take fun classes in the communication department. Currently, not a very fun class, but I'll hopefully be teaching like nonverbal, interpersonal. We cover these love languages, right? We talk flirting styles. We talk a lot of fun things that you can apply to any intimate relationship in your life. So you may see these again in an academic setting, but now that you're all pros, easy A.
Exactly. Take some classes with Ben. That sounds like an amazing class. Thanks so much for tuning into our first podcast. Please stick around because we're going to be here every other Friday giving you advice on love, dating, relationships, friendships, and most importantly, love for yourself. So that everything can be a little less
complicated. And if you want, you can follow us on our Instagram at itscomplicatedudub, follow us on Spotify, and even follow us around in real life if you want.
Teaser for our next episode, think Colleen Hoover. Ooh. See you next time.